turning cartwheels on the inside. But I love it. I love to preach God's word. And so a thought came to my mind as soon as I heard from Josh, and I hadn't read this in a long time, and but it is some good scripture that I've always loved out of the book of Hosea. And what time is it? Everybody get to looking at their watches and their phones. We're a time-conscious critters, ain't we? I was thinking when I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, my schedule is I set my clock for 4 o'clock in the mornings. I usually, about 95-98% of the time, I wake up before my clock goes off. And I'll either lay there and watch it till it gets to 4, or I'll get on up and get started. But I'll get out of bed and get ready and go down to the kitchen. Kim's already got me some sausage fried up and in the refrigerator. And so I'll heat me up some sausage and make me an egg and make me a sandwich. And I like to hit the road somewhere between 4:20 and 4:30. And I usually pull in the parking lot at work between, a few minutes before 5 or a few minutes after 5, but I'm there right around 5 o'clock every morning. Don't start till 5:30. By 11 o'clock, my stomach's telling me it's time to eat lunch, and I know by that it's 11 o'clock. And then I start looking for 3:30, because that's what time I get off, and then I go home, and around 4:15, 4:20, I pull it. Boy, I can be patterned real easy, but that's how all of us are. Time conscious. We will hear the question, or we'll ask the question every day of our life, I believe. Either what time is it, somebody will ask us, or we'll ask somebody, what time is it? And that's fine. That's all we know. We're time conscious. But Hosea tells us what time it is in Hosea chapter number 10. And I'll read this verse, and then I'll be several different places in the book of Hosea. But Hosea, being God's prophet and trying to deal with God's people. And so I tell you, it would have been a hard thing to be a prophet back in those days. Because you're just being totally just point blank honest with God's people. And there were some of them that got killed because of it. There were some of them that was threatened to be killed because of it. But they just told people what God told them to tell. And so in verse number 12, chapter 10 of Hosea, Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. So anytime I ask you what time it is, rest of the night, you just speak up and say, it is time to seek the Lord. Church, I believe, if we'd be honest, I believe there's never been a greater time in our walk of life here on this earth than for God's people to seek the Lord. You can tell by the shape that the church is in. And when I say church, I'm not talking about Gateway. I'm sure we need some improvement as well, but you can look at the shape of the church today. You can see all what's going on, and I'm telling you right now, it is time to seek the Lord. And so I just got to thinking about that when Brother Josh called. I read this scripture. It's been a long time since I did. But Hosea was a man of God that is going to teach us some things concerning seeking the Lord. He's going to teach us some things about what it is to experience life and still have his eyes on the Lord. And I believe all of us could take a lesson or two from this, and I believe all of us could learn a little bit of, and be reminded a little bit about this. But Hosea, I want to give you a couple of things. Hosea sought the Lord in his situation. He sought the Lord in his situation. And before I tell you about his situation, let me just tell you, we've all got our situations. We've all got things in our life, and it seems like it's pretty common and pretty often that we have situations that if we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on our situation. I got thinking about death. Boy, I'm telling you, when death hits our home, hits our family, and we got some right now experiencing, we've had some recently that's experienced it, but when death hits our home, our family, if we're not careful, we will take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on our situation. And I've seen it happen time and time and time again to where people will absolutely be either angry with God, they'll get out of church because of it, they'll be so devastated that they just can't function. And death is a situation that all of us have to face at some point or another in our life. And I tell you, it's no easier for a child of God than it is for someone who's lost. It's no easier for a child of God. I mean, the pain is still there. The hurt, the devastation is still there. But boy, God, if we will keep our eyes on Him, if we will seek the Lord during this terrible time of death, He will help us get through that time in a way that is hard to explain to someone who don't know what it feels like to have God on their side. Death is a situation that we all have to face at some point in our life. I tell you, I've been through the death of a brother. I've been through the death of my mother. I've still got my dad, so I don't know what that feels like. I've still got my children. I don't know what that feels like. But I will say this one thing. Death is not an easy thing to have to deal with. And if you're not careful, if you don't seek the Lord and His strength and His peace and His comfort and His joy through that time, I'm telling you right now, you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground. I've seen the bitterness in people when the death angels come. Listen, we ought to understand and we ought to come to terms with the fact that it's appointed once for man to die, then cometh judgment. We've all got that appointment with death. We're all going to face death. Our loved ones are going to, our children's going to, our grandchildren, all human beings have that appointment with death. That may not make it much easier, but we will understand. We can seek God and have the comfort and the joy in those times to where we can get through a time of death. But then there's a situation of discouragement. I tell you, I've been discouraged. I'm sure you've been discouraged. God's children, from time to time, get discouraged. And I'm telling you right now, again, the same thing. We can say, what time is it? And we can answer that with, it's time to seek the Lord. And during our times of discouragement, instead of getting angry with God, instead of getting angry with the house of God, we need to seek the Lord. We need to ask Him to help us through our discouragement, through this discouragement, discouraging time. And so I've just listed a couple of situations that God's people face. The next thing I was thinking about is depression. Yes, God's people get depressed from time to time. I've battled with it through the years from time to time. And it's nothing to be ashamed about. There is times to where we just find ourselves a little depressed. But we serve a great God, a God who will give us all comfort, all peace, all joy. And when those situations of depression try to sneak in on us, let's just go to God and ask God. Seek God. Seek His wisdom. Seek His will. Ask Him to help us through these times. What was Hosea's situation? Listen, he was a man of God. He was a prophet that had a responsibility, had a job to do for God. But he had a situation arise in his life. And what's so impressive about it is how that he was able to continue on although this situation was terrible for him in his life. You know the story, but I'll just give you a little outline of it. First of all, God told Hosea in Hosea 1 in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, I want you to go go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Boy, I tell you, when you think of God blessing us, when you think of God wanting the best for us, boy, it's hard to understand why in the world God would want you and I to go take someone like Gomer in whoredoms. The Bible says she's a harlot. But he told Hosea to go and take her for his wife. And you know the story. There was children involved. She had a son, and then she had a daughter, and then she had another son. Now, I've read where some writer had said that possibly one or two of those children was not his. I think all three of them wasn't his. The Bible says over in chapter 2 and verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. I believe that she had cheated on Hosea all three times, and in Hosea's mind, although that was his children, I think it had to be to where he wondered if it was really his children or not. That's a situation to be in, I can tell you that. But he was God's man. He was a prophet, and he loved God. And through all of this, she got gone and stayed gone for a while. He didn't know where she was at. He was probably about ready to give up on her, and God found her. God found her in chapter 3 on the auction block, ready to be sold into slavery. And then he told Hosea, he said, I want you to go down there and buy her back. Boy, I'm telling you, talking about rubbing salt in a wound. And I just imagine, without the Bible telling us, I just imagine Hosea is thinking within himself, God, I don't want to go through any more humiliation. I don't want to go and buy her back. Undoubtedly, she don't love me. By her actions, she don't want to be with me. I don't understand why it is that you're telling me to go and buy her back. That's a situation, church. That's a terrible, terrible situation. Now, I can relate to that somewhat. And I'm not trying to compare my life with Hosea's by no means. But something that probably most of you or all of you don't know is I was married to a woman who fit this bill to the T. I mean, buddy, when she got ready to take off, she took off and left me and the kids high and dry and didn't blink an eye. She was all over, up and down the United States, going and visiting people that she had met online. And boy, I could give you story after story, but I'm not comparing myself, and I'm not saying that I want any sympathy, because here's the big difference between, I wish this place was full of young folks, here's the difference between Hosea and myself. God told Hosea, for a reason that we'll discuss in a moment, to go and marry this woman, a harlot. God did not tell me to go and marry the woman I married. In fact, I married her out of God's will. And I got news for you, young folks, the ones maybe listening, ones in here. If you're not married yet, you wait on God. You seek God. Don't you dare take it upon yourself to go out and find you a mate, because I'm telling you, it's going to be the wrong one if you don't seek God. And I just wanted to throw that out there. That's not part of what I want to talk about tonight, but that is the truth. And when I read about Hosea, boy, I tell you, I see the situation that he was in. And I'm telling you, he did not want to go and buy her off of that auction block. Why in the world would he want to? She's proven that she didn't love him. Her actions have shown him she didn't want to be with him. But he was told and instructed to go and buy her back. And I've said this before, and I think I said it the other day in Sunday school. I used to work with a man, and he was a preacher of one of the primitive Baptist churches and all, and he used to tell me, and I guess he was trying to throw me in there too, everybody but him, y'all, the problem with y'all is y'all want to take this Bible literal, and it's not meant to be taken literal, it's meant to be spiritual. I told him, sir, I'm convinced that it's meant to be spiritual, but I believe with all my heart this is literal and spiritual. There's literal stories in here that was done exactly the way the Bible says. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. I believe he stayed in that fish's belly for 3 days, and then the fish vomited him out. I believe that. But there is spiritual applications as well. And here, Hosea, he was told to go and take this woman to wife that was in whoredoms, and she was a harlot. And the spiritual application is this. The children of Israel was harlots. They cheated on God. They had other gods. They did everything to turn their back on God. God loved them. And thanks be to the Lord, he never gave up on them. Amen. Boy, he chastised them. But he chastises those that he loves, is what my Bible says. And thanks be to the Lord, he didn't throw them away. And then we think about in today's time, we were on that auction block. We were being sold into slavery. Our sin had us in shackles. We couldn't get out from under those shackles. But we had a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, Father, I'll give my life a ransom to redeem these people. I will lay down my life. I will shed my blood for the redemption of all mankind. So you see, Hosea had learned, God had learned or taught him a lesson. And he wanted Hosea to understand by continuing to love the woman who had broken his heart, who had been unfaithful to him, by continuing to love her, it was an example of what God has done for the children of Israel. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we put that adultery and that kind of life, we put that probably just right up under child molestation. I mean, we think that adultery is the unpardonable sin. And while I say adultery is terrible, I'll never understand why a man or woman wants to do their spouse that away and put them through the shame and humiliation. But I will say this, we do God that way. In fact, I'll guarantee you most all of us have committed adultery against God at some degree or another today, this very day. We've committed adultery against God. I catch myself all the time. And we say adultery is all sexual, and it's got to do with man and woman. But listen, adultery is whatever you're loving or putting ahead of God when you commit adultery against God. But Hosea, his situation was terrible, but what a lesson God's teaching him. And thanks be unto the Lord, he sought God, and he listened to God, and he minded God. But then I thought about he sought the Lord in his service. Now, here's the kicker. We all have situations. We all have those valleys and those trials and those tribulations. We all experience those. But, buddy, the difference between a saved person and a Christian, and there is a difference, that Christian has learned through the years that in those situations, the service for God cannot and does not stop. If it has to, it's just momentarily to get back up on your feet and get back in this work and this service for God. And here Hosea is. He's a prophet for God. He does not have time to let this situation stop him from being a spokesperson for God. Amen. It's that important. Somebody is dependent on you, and somebody is dependent on me, regardless to what our situation is. They're dependent on you and me to continue the service of God. Amen. Boy, it's that important. It's that important. I got to thinking about, first of all, the warnings to God's people. Did you know that part of our service to God is to warn folks about things and not just lost folks? We do need to warn them that there's a devil's hell that's waiting on them if they refuse to accept Christ. We do need to warn them. And the Bible even goes on to tell us that if we don't warn them, their blood is going to be on our hands. But we do need to warn the lost. But we need to warn God's people. And I'm telling you right now, when you're serving God, when you're trying to do what God says do, when you're trying to help God's people, it ain't always going to be pleasant. They're not always going to want to hear what you have to say. I remember when I rededicated my life, and boy, I got in there and started serving God. And I know that I didn't say anything mean-spirited or hateful, but I don't know the conversation that I had with my brother years and years ago, but it came back to me that he said he was sick and tired of my holier-than-thou attitude. Brother David, that almost killed me. That almost made me lay it down and stop. I couldn't believe he was saying that, but... listen, we're supposed to warn God's people. If you see me in error, if you see someone else in error, it's your duty and responsibility. It ain't being nosy. It's just trying to help and to warn God's people. It ain't always going to be accepted. There's going to be people that'll have mean stuff to say. But notice what... Hosea said in chapter 10, verse number 1 and 2. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Sort of seems like it's two different conversations there. How you bring fruit in yourself if you're an empty vine? Well, these people were high-minded, haughty. They had done got to where... they didn't need God anymore. They done got to where they knew more than God. And so the man of God is warning them. He's saying, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altar according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Listen, God will not let his people go very long without bringing them down, without chastisement. I thank God for chastisement myself because God says he chastises those that he loves. But I shouldn't have to be chastised if I would just stay in the will of God and serve God wholeheartedly. But these people were about to feel the chastisement hand of God on their life. And you and I have got to warn God's people. Amen. It's our duty and responsibility. It ain't nosy if you do it the right way. It ain't nosy if you'll just in love, in compassion, just tell them where their error is. It ain't passing judgment. We get accused all the time of, don't pass judgment on me. Don't judge me. You don't know my life. It ain't judging when you're trying to warn them. And I don't know why that God's people today thinks that they can live any way they want to without any kind of chastisement, without any kind of recourse. God did not let these Old Testament women and men have a pass, and he's certainly not going to let you and I have a pass. Sin ought to scare us to death. Sin ought to worry us. Lord, don't let me fall into that. Don't let me take my eyes off you. What time is it, Lord? It is time to seek the Lord. The warnings to God's people. But then part of our service is the encouragement to God's people. We don't always have to seem like we're coming down on them. Encourage one another. Lift each other up. Let each other know that you love them, that you're praying for them, that you're there for them. Pick up the phone. Use that phone to text. Pick up pen and paper. I'm telling you right now, and I know he's watching, but there's a dear brother in this church that every week he'll, if not every day, he'll text me. Just want you and Sister Kim to know, love you, praying for you, thanking God for you. I'm telling you right now, We're to encourage one another. Chapter 6, Hosea says this in verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. Don't you dare let a child of God think that God has stopped loving them. God will not hear their cry and heal them up. You let people know that this great God that we serve is just a prayer away. He wants to restore us. Oh, David, boy, I tell you, I love Psalm 51. Oh, David, that's the most heartfelt, repentful prayer that I've ever heard in my life. And I'm telling you, he was calling out to God, and he was letting God know that he is nothing without God. He can't do anything without God. If I'm ever going to help transgressors, you've got to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God will restore you and I. Don't you dare stop praying or trying to encourage God's people. Let that be part of your service. You know, we look for God's will for our life, and some of it we don't have to look for. We just have to do. I believe there's specific jobs and things out there that God will appoint us to do. I believe that. But this is everyday stuff. Every Christian ought to be trying to encourage God's people, trying to warn God's people. But then Hosea, we've already read this, but I want to touch on these things that Hosea makes mention of. The instruction for God's people. And it's back in chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea instructs God's people on how to seek the Lord. You know, this, I believe with all my heart, the devil is so crafty. He can slip in there and he can take our zeal, take our love for God, and God won't anymore be our first love. And he will slip in there and change things with you and I. But Hosea is telling us now, if you're going to seek the Lord, and you should, if you want to seek the Lord, and I hope that you do, here is what you have to do in order to seek the Lord. And he says, first of all, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Boy, I tell you, that simply means, well, the word sow means to plant. That word righteousness is devotion to a sinless life. It did not say living a sinless life. It said devotion to a sinless life. In other words, we strive, we fight, we do everything we can to live a sinless life. When we do that, buddy, we can seek the Lord. But 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Boy, that's some powerful scripture there. But if we're going to seek the Lord, we're going to have to sow to ourselves in righteousness. I get so sick and tired of the devil and his antics and all of what he does and will do and tries to do to me or to all God's children. I mean, he is constantly bombarding us, trying to take that righteousness and turn it into filthiness, trying to take that righteousness and separate us from God and from the godly things. And it's a constant battle. I guess it is for you. I know it is for me. But Hosea is trying to encourage us, and he's trying to let us know that if you want to seek the Lord, and by the way, it is time to seek the Lord. If you want to seek the Lord, sow to yourselves in righteousness. But then the second thing he says is, reap in mercy. Reap in mercy. That phrase just simply means harvest in kindness or pity. Thanks be unto the Lord for the grace and mercy of God. But that same mercy that God has extended to us is expected to be given from us to God's people. We want God's mercy, but a lot of times I don't think we want to give mercy. And there's plenty of scripture to back it up. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into it. But listen, if you want God's mercy, if you desire to have God's mercy, then don't you dare hold back mercy from a brother or sister in Christ who is in desperate need to hear from God and God's man or God's woman. Reap in mercy. Harvest. I'm telling you right now, Hosea is saying these two things, if you'll put them into practice, that's like these nine fruits of the Spirit. We talk about them ever so often. I don't say that any man, woman, boy, or girl has them all down pat, just perfected, but it ought to be our desire to take those nine fruits of the Spirit and strive to perfect them in our life. Reap in mercy. But then the third thing that he says, break up your fallow ground. You know, again, that old liar, that deceiver, it's amazing to me that he can take a tender heart, a heart that loves God and loves God's people and has compassion on his fellow human beings, and how that the devil can then turn that heart into a stony heart. And it is a shame that we let the devil do that to us. Proverbs 4 and 23, very familiar scripture. I love it. Heard Brother Randy Clark preach out of it one time, and he entitled it, Protect Your Heart. But it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. These hearts have to be tender if we're going to seek the Lord. And it's a constant battle to keep a good tender heart. Hosea has let us see what a tender heart will do. Because I've heard people, and thanks be unto the Lord, I'm not one of them because I had already sought the Lord in my ordeal, but I have heard people say concerning somebody that had wronged them, I'll never forgive them. I'll never, never accept them back into my life or a part of my life. That's a dangerous thing to say. I'm telling you, you don't have to hang around them every day. You don't have to be best friends anymore, but you have to love them. Your heart has to go out to them. You might not even want to be a help to them anymore. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But you can't help but to reach out to them if they need you. You can't help it. It's something that goes beyond us. That's what God's children a lot of time miss. The things that we're able to do, the forgiveness that we're able to show, the love that we're able to put on display, it's not of us. It's from God. And if we can't do it, then we're keeping God from working through us. What time is it, church? It is time to seek the Lord. I don't try to be nothing more than I am, but I'm so stinking sick and tired of being less. I just want to be what God wants me to be, and that ought to be all of our desire. Use me to bring honor to you. I don't preach the way others do. I don't teach the way others do. I used to let that bother me. I wanted to be like some of the great preachers. And I hear Brother Josh, I'm thinking, man, I'd like to be able to preach. I preach how God lets me preach. I teach how God lets me teach. And if I'll do that, and if you'll do that, just be who God wants you to be. Don't settle for less, and don't try to be more. Just be what God wants you to be. Church, it's time to seek the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for men and women in this Bible that lays out examples of what they went through, examples of what God helped them to be. Lord, it sure is refreshing to know that all these men and women had their issues, their situations, their struggles, but yet you used them to pin down scriptures that we can glean from and learn from. And I just thank you for that tonight, Father. You're so, so good to us. Lord, help us to be everything that we can be. And Lord, instead of being so time conscious every day on where to be and what time to go and what time to do this and that, help us, God, to understand that it is time to seek the Lord with all of our heart, with everything that's within us, in what time we have left on this earth, and nobody knows, whatever time that we have left on this earth, help us to be everything that we can be to bring honor and glory to you. We love you. Thank you, God, for Brother Josh. I pray that you'd leave him here till you come back and get us, God. Him and Sister Tara, I thank you for them. I thank you for every person that makes this church family up, God. We've got so many special people in this place. I love them, God. And I pray that you'd keep a hedge around their homes, around their families. God, I know that it's been made known tonight. We've got some that's struggling financially. That's a situation they're in right now. I just am convinced that we serve a God who's able to get them out of their situations. Lord, when we reach those places to where it's uncertain, I pray, God, that we just call upon the name of the Lord. Seek your face, God, and seek your wisdom. Help us to do that. We love you tonight. Thank you and praise you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're going to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.